hatch opens at the rear end of a round horse-shaped figurine. Dozens of letters storm out and create words. Ilian Animation Studios. In another logo, a hand holds an old-fashioned movie camera. Handmade Films International. Now in three-dimensional animation, a dark sky sparkling with a myriad of stars fills our view. Wisps of softly glowing cosmic dust swirl among them. Words appear. Ilian Animation Studios presents. Our view drifts downward to a snowy white full moon framed with fluffy clouds. Below, a river cuts through a town glittering with light. At a secluded overlook bordered with lush trees, a couple sits in a pink convertible, gazing at the stunning panorama.
I've never gone parking before. I'm really not that kind of a girl.
Well, I'm not the kind of a guy who would go with that kind of a girl.
Oh, that's so sweet, I think.
There's nothing to be scared of.
A spaceship rises before them. Its domed head sits atop a bell-shaped body with rockets on its underside. The convertible speedily backs up. Bursting through a fence, the car reaches a road. A ringed laser shoots over it and blows up a diner. Its massive sign topples, blocking the car's path. The alien craft lands nearby on flexible metal legs. It raises a foot over the car, but a powerful blast hits its hull. An army battalion looks on.
Good shot, son!
As the couple flees, the spaceship's hatch lowers. Inside, a figure with a dome-shaped head holds a double-pronged staff.
General, I think he's surrendering.
It lumbers down the ramp, glancing about with a single giant red eye. The eye fires a ringed laser blast, reducing a group of soldiers to crumbling skeletons. Another laser blast disintegrates a tank.
Fire at will!
The soldier's bullets hit a force field protecting the alien. With his rod, he sends rings of energy skyward. They spread out, uncloaking a fleet of ships. As they attack, a cowering officer looks up, revealing a green, noseless face. Two finger-like antennae sprout from his forehead.
Keep firing! Kill every last alien!
The invader's absent. In a movie theater, green-skinned viewers recoil as they watch.
You will all become my alien zombies.
A mother drags her son out by his antenna. On the movie screen, the alien invader shoots another laser blast from its eye. Outside, a poster featuring the creature reads, Humaniacs. The mother and son exit the theater.
What did I tell you about these kind of movies? It was almost over.
Our view sweeps over a town of round buildings with flying saucer-like roofs. Cars shaped like hamburgers hover over the street. A huge ring planet looms in the sky. A title, Planet 51. A citizen reads a newspaper with the headline, Another Nice Day in Glipford. The mother leads her son past a policeman cooing over a baby carriage. Short tendrils hang over his mouth like a mustache.
Oh, you know, he looks just like his father.
In the carriage, an egg burps.
Just like his father.
An elegant lady citizen walks a pet on a leash. As they pause by a lamppost, green mist rises from its base, and it tilts. A dog-like creature with smooth gray skin and a crescent-shaped head finishes peeing on the corroded post, then scrapes at the ground with its hind paws. As it trots along, a large pink tongue hangs out of its smiling mouth. The mother and son get in a car and drive off. Dwayne Johnson. They pass a full-service gas station. Jessica Biel. Next, they pass an old worker sweeping rocks into a tall pile. Justin Long. Pausing in his work, he looks up. Gary Oldman. Storm clouds move in, blotting out the sun.
Oh, I hate the rain.
A rock hits him in the head. As other rocks and pebbles rain down, a younger citizen stops, holds out an upturned hand, then opens an umbrella.
Raining rocks and dogs. Great.
Sean William Scott and John Cleese as Professor Kipple. The weather clears as the mother and son drive past three girls playing a game like hopscotch. Freddie Benedict, Alan Marriott, Matthew Horn, James Corden. The car travels up a winding mountain road toward a pair of cylindrical buildings. It passes a sign reading, Glipford Observatory. Now against a backdrop of stars, a device of interconnected spheres and rings whirls as it rises into view. It projects colorful images of planets.
Space.
A teen with moppy tendrils of hair stands below.
A universe of mystery. Well, today the mystery will be unveiled. Thanks to science, we now know the universe is nearly 500 miles long. and it contains...
The supervisor fills out an evaluation sheet.
Over 1,000 stars!
Young students doze in the audience.
Psst! Len!
Another team.
Come on, liven it up! And still, the only known intelligent life is right here on our planet.
A projection of a ring planet burns. The shaking projector spits out film.
What was that?
That's our planet after the attack of the Humaniacs. They're gonna eat our brains for dinner!
Is that true?
Everybody, please, that's ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous. Brains for dinner? Come on. Brains are for breakfast with cereal and milk. Dinner's organs and eyeballs.
A student throws up as others cover their mouths. Lem's boss turns to leave.
Okay, everyone, please listen up. We're not getting eaten.
He pauses.
Or harvested, or having our brains barbecued. The universe isn't scary. It's really amazing. And don't forget to pick up your planetary yo-yos.
Bringing one out, he does the rock the baby trick.
We've got one for each of you.
Later, Len meets his teen friend and the young movie lover.
You're looking at the new junior assistant curator. High four.
The teen slap hands. Now the three walk through town.
Part time now, full time after I graduate. How did you do, Lem?
Got the job.
Knew you would. I can see my whole life. A house, a car, two kids. They'll grow up and have kids. They'll come home to visit on holidays.
Well?
Got it.
Lem?
A police car.
Congratulations on that job. I knew you could do it.
Yeah, thanks.
The officer drives off.
What the?
Oh, wow!
At the movie theater, workers put up a Humaniacs billboard.
Oh, there it is. Just two more days.
Wow. Humaniacs 3, the final battle for a world.
Victory or extinction!
A sign reads Grand Premier Costume Contest.
If you guys go in costume, I'm pretending we never met.
Did you just say what I think you just said?
I'm a planetarium professional now. I don't have time for kids' movies anymore.
Kids' movies? I suppose next you'll say aliens don't exist.
Duh.
Ha! Just as I thought! You're not Lim! You're an alien zombie like in Humaniacs 2!
Skiff, I'm not a zombie.
Yeah, that's what you zombies are programmed to say. Tell me something the real Lim would know.
Well, I know Skiff is the only nutcase who thinks the government is hiding all alien evidence in Base 9. And you give candy to your puppy so he'll poop jelly beans.
It was just an experiment.
They reach a comic book store.
With all due respect, I put in the hours and done a lot of alien research at work.
What are you talking about? You work in a comic book store.
The greatest source of scientific knowledge.
Yeah, time to unpack the fake alien poop.
Right away, Mr. Huglug. You'll believe me, Lem, when aliens put you on the takeout menu.
Skiff hands a comic to the movie fan.
Wow!
Skiff!
I love fake alien poop day.
Later, Lem walks with his younger friend.
So, Echo, do you think your sister's home?
Why?
I thought I might tell her I got the job.
Why?
Forget it. You tell her for me, okay?
Okay, but every time you tell me to tell her something, she asks, why don't you just tell her yourself?
What?
And then my mom says it's because you like her, and then she says that, oh, that's so cute, and why don't you just ask her out already? Because she's been waiting for you to ask her out ever since we moved next door to you.
She has? The girl of my dreams likes me? This is the best day of my life.
Yeah, we gotta see that kid throw up.
In a backyard, Lem's bespectacled father calls to his neighbors.
Hey, he did it! He got the job!
Oh, we're so proud of you.
I hear it's just one easy step up to senior assistant curator.
Lem stares next door as a female teen with blonde hair tendrils comes outside. Carrying a vase of roses, she gazes off dreamily through almond-shaped eyes. Her full lips wear a faint smile. Lem's father smacks his head.
Come on, soldier. Take that hill.
Lem approaches her.
Hey, Neera.
Hey, Lem.
I wanted to tell you, I got the job.
Lem, that's great.
Maybe it's time that you and me...
Yes?
I mean, would you want to...
A blue graffitied van pulls up.
Kira! Been looking all over for you!
You've been looking for me?
The cause needs you!
The what?
The cause. Glar's involved with something he calls protesting. It's like when you shout about stuff that makes you upset.
Yeah, like our school pictures. Why do they have to be of our faces?
I mean, what a bummer.
That means it's not good. Nira, we need you! Righteous Mama!
Oh, I am so honored. But Lem was about to ask me something.
Yeah?
Man, what do you want to ask her?
It's kind of private.
No problemo, man!
I mean, I totally respect that.
So, Nira...
Nira and Lem had a private conversation and don't want anybody else around.
Yeah, you know, we can talk later.
Yeah!
Okay.
Peace.
That means see you later!
Glar tosses his guitar into the van, then gets in with Nira and drives off. Lem's pretty neighbor leans out and waves.
Bye!
Bye!
Later, a view through a telescope shows Glar and Nira meeting other protesters.
Oh, the cause, man.
Lem spies on them.
I'd like to cause him some pain.
He smacks his telescope. It catches him in the face.
I want to hear a single bubble.
Three goldfish-like creatures shut their mouths. One passes gas.
Especially you, Bubbles.
As Lem sulks off, his window shows a burst of light in a cloud. Now a spacecraft's underside glows red as it enters the planet's atmosphere and soars over its blue and green surface. From a small hatch, a receiver dish extends and turns. Now words appear in a dimly lit bunker. Base 9, top secret extraterrestrial tracking station. Forget you saw this. Eating a burger, a chubby worker ogles a magazine photo of a curvy blonde named Marilyn. The next page shows an ad for Humaniacs 3. The invader's eye blinks red. The worker moves the magazine aside, revealing a radar with a blinking red beacon. Other machines light up throughout the bunker, and one ejects a printout. The worker grabs a phone.
Call the general! Call the general!
We plummet down to an icy underground cavern filled with glass storage domes containing various spacecrafts. One reads Sputnik. In another case, a red light blinks on a white contraption. A solar panel rises and two headlights switch on. On either side of the contraption, a row of three wheels pops out. A spherical head with a single lens rises from the top and activates. In its computerized point of view, words appear. Signal received. Ready. Start mission. The small boxy rover rams the glass containing it. The dome remains intact. The rover shines a spotlight through its lens, scanning its surroundings. It shuts off the light and examines the container's base. Using a three-pronged robotic hand, it unscrews the dome from its platform. The rover hops down to the floor. Floodlights illuminate around the perimeter and a red light flashes over a door. It opens and armed soldiers rush in. Hiding behind the doorframe, the rover gazes after them, then hurries out. Later, as more soldiers jog down a corridor, the rover shuts an air vent from inside and speeds away. Now it arrives on a rocky outcropping and raises an antenna from its rear. Its view screen locates the descending spaceship and a message reads, "Mission, follow astronaut." The rover travels down a winding path. Now we view the panels of a Humaniacs comic book.
Resistance is futile, surrender or die.
Echo's mother takes it away.
Come on, Echo, go help your father.
As his dad struggles to flatten burgers hovering over a grill, a wind flips the comic book's pages. Lem's window blows open.
Huh?
He shuffles over and shuts it. In the yard, a sulking Echo looks up. He runs to a table where a mustard bottle tips over. A radio's dial moves by itself. In his room, Lem notices his fish hiding inside a broken vase in their bowl. Outside, his mother stares upward. Looking up from the grill, Echo's father eyes the sky darkened with storm clouds. Their spiraling center glows orange, then opens. A spacecraft descends with jets glowing from its underbelly. three legs extend from its sides, providing a soft landing for the rugged capsule. As it touches down, receiver dishes spin atop its upper compartment. Its long window gives the appearance of a solitary eye and a metal head. A hatch bearing an American flag lowers. 2 feet in large white boots land on the dusty ground. They step away, leaving their impressions. Wearing a white, bulky spacesuit, the astronaut clutches an American flag. His helmet's reflective visor hides his face. Echo and his parents stare. Flag in the soil and stomps his foot.
What the?
He sees a three-eyed rubber ducky.
Duck?
Looking up, he notices Echo's parents and Lem's parents staring at him. Hovering over the grill, the burgers burst into flames. The astronaut releases the flag. He rubs his hands together. Bolting for his ship, he finds Echo at the hatch. The youngster whips out a pen and approaches. Fleeing, the astronaut scrambles over a picket fence and encounters a female on the sidewalk. He runs away. Lem bursts outside.
Mom, Dad! There's a ship in the...
He follows his parents' gaze to the panicking astronaut. Hiding behind a shed in the yard, the astronaut turns and finds the alien dog beside him. The creature sticks its tongue to his helmet. It looks like a mouth with another tongue inside it. The astronaut pries it off and runs. The alien dog suctions itself to him again. He pries it off once more and tosses it away, then accidentally steps on two toy cars, which roll under his feet like skates. Inside a house, a mother pours medicine into a spoon for her son.
Open wide, or the big bad monster will get ya.
The astronaut bursts in through a window. As he stands, the son chugs the whole bottle of medicine. As the astronaut hurries out of the room, a base hits his helmet and he falls out the front door. He stumbles into the street. A postal worker crashes into him. The astronaut rides on the handlebars of the mail carrier's hovering bicycle-like vehicle as they bounce down a hill toward a construction site. A worker jumps out of the way. The bike speeds up a ramp and bursts through a billboard. Its two riders sail through the air, silhouetted by the ringed moon. They hit a tree and the astronaut comes flying from the branches and lands near a playground. Now as a general enters Base 9, soldiers stand at attention.
The battle for our world has begun.
Captain, mobilize the arm.
Yes, sir! Right back! Move it!
The pudgy captain gestures and the soldiers hustle out through a circular portal. Back in town, the police officer pushes past a startled citizen. He sweeps the beam of his flashlight over the grassy tree-lined area around the playground. As he heads off, the astronaut sneaks out from behind a bush and scurries in the direction of the Glipforg Observatory. Now at Lem's house, a news report on TV shows the landed space capsule.
Are they hostile? Will our species survive? One thing we do know is that they show no respect for our parking laws.
An alien hotline number appears on screen.
Survival, how will you survive without a sparkling smile? Give your smile that special glow.
As the reporter holds up a tube of toothpaste, actors in toothbrush and toothpaste costumes dance beside him. Later, Lem strolls through a crowd gathered near the space capsule. The two costumed actors walk by.
You know, you're really good as that toothbrush.
Yeah, but what I really do best is a suppository.
Now a group of citizens in civil patrol armbands and helmets gather outside town hall. The leader flips through manuals.
Ah, let's see. Invasion by giant ants, invasion by sea monsters, invasion by 50-foot woman. Ah, here it is. So you've been invaded by aliens.
Later, as Lem's father inspects a cannon, Nira's dad tips his civil patrol helmet at a passing female citizen.
Huh. Keep your eyes on the aliens.
Aliens?
Lem's dad fires the cannon. The cannonball knocks the head off a statue at school.
All right, class. Let's try it one more time.
The aliens are coming!
The students hide under their desks.
Clark, you were too slow. Go join the zombies.
The chubby student looks at a group in the corner, then frowns. Later.
I called it. The only question is, should I be terrified because it's the end of the world, or happy because I totally called it? Me? I have a plan. They're gonna need a native to run the mines. I'll befriend them, show my executive skills, and bam, I'm in. Oh, speaking of bam, I'm in.
He gives something to Lem.
A cork?
It's your best defense against the alien's favorite form of research.
The probe. You put it...
He indicates his rear.
Yeah, I think I get it.
Oh, wait, this is yours. I already used that one.
Lem tosses Skiff's cork away.
Just remembered. My job. Oh, gotta go. You know, my boss.
Your boss? No problem. You guys can share.
Now the boxy rover picks up a rock and scans it. A message appears on its view screen. Primary specimen, acquire. The rover sets the rock inside a compartment in its cube body, then spots another and picks it up. Question marks appear on its view screen as it finds a one-eyed scorpion-like creature clinging to the underside. The rover removes the creature and returns its attention to the rock. The critter darts onto the back of the probe's head and knocks. As the rover turns, the creature jumps back onto the rock. The rover looks at the creature, then smashes it into the ground with a rock. It scans the rock again and sets it in its compartment. A message appears in its view screen. Mission, find astronaut. The rover zooms off past the sign reading, welcome to Glipforg, nice and peaceful, and drives down a road below the observatory.
Neera, you have to choose.
With Lem.
It's either me or Glar.
Oh, Lem, there's no question. It's you, of course.
He's talking to a photo of Neera pinned up inside a supply closet. Lem closes the door, then mops the floor in the observatory lobby. He looks up at a gift shop kiosk, then walks over and glances around. With a shrug, he resumes his work. Behind the counter, the astronaut lies on the floor. As he rolls over, he knocks down a curtain. Lem moves closer, but sees only the lumpy red curtain. It rises and falls away to reveal his reflection in the astronaut's visor. They both race up staircases at opposite sides of the lobby, then collide on the connecting balcony. They stumble back. As he retreats from Lem, the astronaut falls backwards over the balcony railing. Lem sprints down the stairs, trips on his mop, and slides on his back into the gift shop counter. As he lies on the floor, his upside-down view shows the astronaut suspended in the air by wires. Lem stands, his view tilting upright, and stares at the otherworldly visitor hanging upside down in the lobby display of a planetary system. He rushes to a phone and dials frantically.
Come on.
Hello, this is the alien hotline.
Yes, hi, I found the alien.
They're here, and no weapon can stop them.
You gotta be kidding.
A wire snaps and the astronaut falls spread eagle on a giant ring globe. The ring rotates and knocks him off. As he hangs tangled in more wire, an oxygen hose disconnects from his spacesuit. Another wire breaks and he crashes down with all the planets. He lies motionless, his disconnected hose flitting about as it releases air. Lem stares.
Hello?
Yes, hello. I found the alien.
If you've spotted an alien fleet, dial one. For pod people, dial two.
Lem frowns at the phone. The astronaut removes his helmet.
I can breathe. I can't breathe.
You speak my language.
He turns to Lem.
That's amazing. You speak my language.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
You just said? That's what I just said. Say something else.
Like what?
Like what? They're gonna freak back at Kennedy. I'm Captain Charles T. Baker, astronaut. Astronaut.
Lem.
Either your name is Lem, or you want to mate with me. Houston, we have a little problem.
What do you want?
Thanks for asking. Coffee light, two sugars. Do you have any frappuccino up here? Any puff pastry, too. Thanks.
No, I mean, are you here to take over our world and, like, eat our brains?
Whoa. Hold on. What kind of sick planet is this? First of all, it's supposed to be uninhabited, okay? Not full of sea monkeys dancing to the oldies. My mission was to plant old glory, whack a few golf balls, and head back to the Kids' Choice Awards. I'm getting slimed.
Lem gawks.
What?
You were just talking alien.
Hey, I'm not the alien here. You are.
Me? You are.
No, you are.
You are. You came to my planet.
An alien planet? Hello?
Hello.
Not hello. Hello?
Hello? What?
What?
Huh?
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 Let's start over. Look, there's a command module in orbit right now. It's running out of fuel. It has to leave in 74 hours. And if I'm not on it, it goes back to Earth without me. Capiche?
Baker mimes.
I have to get to my ship and go back up in space. Can you help me?
You want me to take you to your flying saucer? No, if they catch me helping you, who knows what they'll do to me? I'll lose everything. My life was just getting perfect.
Kid, you are a kid, right? I mean, you're not like a 1,000-year-old Yoda or anything. Never mind. Look, kid, you're my only hope. But I suppose you could leave me stranded. My wife will have to support the kids. 11. We have 11 kids. Always hungry. Yeah, yeah. But hey, they'll get by without a father. The important thing here is you avoid a little trouble.
Alien hotline, what's the nature of your sighting?
Lem picks up the drop telephone.
Hello, are you there?
Baker gives him sad puppy dog eyes. Now the postal worker wears a cast as he delivers mail. He sees the alien dog in front of a doghouse labeled Ripley.
Hey, fella! Who wants a donut?
As Ripley races over, his chain jerks him back. Ripley bares his teeth. The postal worker rides off.
So dumb.
Ripley lifts his leg and urinates on his chain. A cloud of green wafts into the air as it breaks. Now, as the postal worker opens a mailbox, he sees Ripley sitting on top. Evening. A crowd stands outside Nira's house and watches the spaceship. As Lem pulls up in a car, Baker peers out from under a blanket.
There's your flying saucer. Now what?
Okay. Here's the plan. You knock out that cop, then you overpower those two, you neutralize that one, and handcuff the big guy to the steering wheel.
That's your plan? What if they start shooting?
You're one of their own. They'll probably just aim for your legs.
My legs?
Don't your legs grow back?
No. We're not like your kind, okay?
I'll tell you what. Eat this.
A Twix.
You become invincible.
Oh, good. Then you do it.
I can't be seen breaking the law. I've got the right stuff.
The what?
The right stuff. It means I have a lot of courage. Now go! Go on! Go! Go! Go!
He shoves Lem out of the car, then mimes karate chops. Lem confusedly backs into the police officer. Baker ducks.
Hey, Lem! Something wrong?
A tank bursts through the fence in the yard. The reporter talks into his mic.
As you can see, the army is taking positions just like in the War of the Worlds. Getting ready for our first close encounter with invaders from outer space.
Soldiers fill the yard, their guns aimed at the spaceship. A helicopter glides overhead. Lem shields his face from the churning, dirt-filled air as the chopper touches down. The pudgy captain straightens.
And shut!
The general steps out of the helicopter.
So they've come.
He approaches the spaceship.
Captain!
Sir!
The captain hurries over.
Have your men search the flying saucer.
Yes, sir! Move!
Soldiers wearing gas masks appear.
Now our brave soldiers are entering the alien spaceship. Doesn't look big enough to be a space destroyer.
Ooh, it's dark in here.
Lem tries to sneak off.
Hey, look!
The police officer grabs him and points.
No sign of the pilot, sir!
The soldiers step out of the ship carrying items between metal tongs. One by one, they drop the objects into a container, including a GQ magazine with Baker on the cover and a car dashboard hula girl. An MP3 player slips from a soldier's tongs.
Whoops.
Some soldiers run away, while others cover their ears. The reporter shoves his incapacitated cameraman away and films. The general blasts the MP3 player to pieces. He doffs his aviator sunglasses.
I've never seen such a heinous weapon. We are up against a cruel, sadistic enemy.
Seal off the town! I want that alien pilot found.
Glar appears. Protesters march closer.
Well, there's one thing you gotta do.
Never mind, Captain. The alien's right here.
Where are they?
Soldiers grab Glar.
Glar is not the alien?
Oh, no? Then what do you call this?
Hair. He likes it long.
Very unusual. You might even say, very alien.
Excuse me, General. Oh. He does go to the high school.
Glar's just trying to say the aliens might be friendly.
Neera smiles. The general rolls his eyes. Lem sneaks to his car.
Oh, Lem! Lem, you know astronomy?
She pulls him over.
If an alien came all this way, wouldn't it be smart enough to come in peace?
A soldier peers into his car.
No!
Lem pushes Neera out of the way and grabs the soldier. He glances around at the baffled bystanders.
I mean, they've come to harvest our organs, make us slaves.
Me?
Eccles spots Baker.
We should all of us, right now, go home and hide.
Huh?
That's a sensible young man. Let him go.
And the rest of you, go to your homes and wait for instruction.
As the crowd disperses, Lem drives off. He waves uneasily at Neera.
Hi.
She folds her arms crossly. Beside her, Glar shakes his head. Lem drives around the corner to his house and pulls into the garage. As the door glides shut, Ripley passes on the sidewalk. He drags the mail worker's bag behind him. Now Lem opens a door and peeks into his house. He watches his mother leave the room, then shoves Baker inside. Still cloaked in the blanket, the astronaut gets pushed upstairs.
Okay, come on. Hurry up. Go.
They enter Lem's room. Baker sheds his blanket.
Great. Just great. I said I'd take you to your flying saucer, okay? Well, there it is. Now leave.
He peeks out a window shade.
I'll get you a blanket and a pillow for the night.
Lem hangs his head as he walks off. Baker turns to the window. Parting the circular shades, he looks out onto the yard and sees soldiers erecting a fence around his spaceship. A helicopter circles overhead and two soldiers stand guard.
It's a miracle I'm gonna.
Elsewhere, the words, "It's a miracle," appear on a poster behind the rover. The probe rolls off, revealing an automatic washer on the ad shape just like its head. A rock tumbles out in front of the rover. As it picks it up, another one appears. Nearby, Skiff lifts a stone from a pile of comics as he gets ready to close the store. He sees the rover wagging its antenna like a tail. He recoils and covers his eyes. The rover looks at the rock in Skiff's hand.
You like the stone? You like the stone? Go.
He throws it. The rover chases after it and puts it in its compartment, then returns to Skiff, who cowers. Two soldiers arrive, one fat, the other skinny.
There it is! Stop!
The rover glances back and forth between the soldiers and Skiff, then zooms into a brightly lit restaurant. The soldiers give chase. Inside the restaurant, a waitress on skates serves a booth of teams. The soldiers scan an adjoining bowling alley and see a row of balls on the ball return. One is the rover's head. The rover speeds into the dining area and vaults onto a stack of pizza trays atop a counter. Its spinning wheels shoot them at the skinny soldier. The fat soldier watches, then chases the rover, which zooms back into the bowling alley. Its wheels skid on a waxed lane and it gets stuck. The fat soldier dives for it. The rover jumps onto his back, then shoots off, sending the soldier headfirst into a formation of bowling pins. The rover speeds out of the restaurant, glances at a blinking red light on its side, then zooms off into the town. Now Lem brushes his teeth as he and Baker watch TV.
What to do when aliens invade?
Aliens are quite like us, except they have two sets of teeth.
Professor Kipple, alien expert.
And hypnotic eyes to control our brains and turn us into an army of zombies.
Lem stares at Baker.
What?
Remember, anyone caught helping the aliens will go to jail.
Jail? This is great. Yesterday, my life was perfect. And now, I'm the most wanted super criminal in the world.
At least you have a world. I'll probably never see mine again.
Wearing a blue flight suit, he leans back on the couch and stares upward. Our view lifts through a skylight to reveal an aerial perspective of Lem's house and the surrounding neighborhood. Moving farther away, we fly into space and reach the blue ring glowing around the planet. Baker's command module, the Odyssey, hovers nearby. Inside, a clock in the control room counts down from 36 hours, 48 minutes, and 31 seconds. Now at the fenced-off ship.
Our preliminary procedures have been completed, sir. The spacecraft is quarantined. We're looking for a place for your headquarters, sir.
Still no trace of the alien, sir.
Where would you hide?
if you were an alien?
Hyde! Bravo, General! An alien invader spends over $500 to fly across the universe to Hyde! You clown! He's here to take over our minds! Even yours!
Diabolical.
Captain, place me under arrest.
Not so fast, General. I've trained my superior intellect to recognize alien mind slaves.
His head trembles as he closes his eyes and touches his temples.
You're clean, but he's a zombie, and those two.
Several troops take aim at the accused.
How will we know who's a zombie?
Well, zombies don't feel any pain.
The fat and skinny soldiers punch each other.
You're clean.
You too. General, you must capture the alien alive and bring it to me. I will unlock the secrets of its marvelous brain.
Captain, search the town. Go door to door if you must, but find that alien.
Now two tanks hover down a residential street past a parked white car. A delivery person climbs into the vehicle and sneaks a drink of milk from a bottle.
Hello, Plark. If that really is you.
Have a nice day, Sir Bach. Or should I call you by your alien name?
He rolls his window up on the postal worker's hand and speeds off, dragging him along. They pass a mother and child.
How come I have to come to the tent? It was the end of the world, Mom.
Oh. Invasion or not, you've got to go.
My mom's a zombie! Help!
The fat and skinny soldiers chase her around a corner, waving batons. Now the rover's view screen zeroes in on a second-story window of Lem's house, and a message flashes, astronaut found. The two soldiers appear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right, so this is the last street we're gonna do today.
Mm-hmm. As he goes over a checklist, the rover sneaks by behind them, trailed by Ripley. The alien dog and the probe examine each other's rear ends, then play together. Ripley rolls onto his back, and the rover pets his belly.
Okay, let's start at this end.
Wait, I think I'm a zombie. I'm hearing an irritating, piercing voice in the back of my head.
Oh, shut up, it's me.
It's there again!
It's me, you moron.
The probe looks up. The skinny soldier glances over to find Ripley lying alone on the lawn. The dog gets up and notices the rover hiding in some bushes.
Hey, what's that?
Ripley sees the curious soldiers and does a trick to get their attention.
Hey, look!
It paws around in a circle with its front legs, dragging its butt on the lawn. The rover zooms out from its hiding place and squeezes through a doggy door to Lem's house. In his bedroom.
Mom?
He awakes to find Captain Baker asleep on the couch.
Mom! Ah, Mom! Don't come in!
He peeks out the door. Looking down, he finds the rover wagging its antenna. It barges in and brings a newspaper to Baker.
Rover? Boy, am I glad to see you, Rover!
Rover? He's a probe we sent to take pictures of your world.
Hey, a planet full of aliens? And you sent back pictures of rocks? Bad boy, bad boy.
He whacks it with the paper. The door opens.
Mom, don't come in!
The alien! Wow! Can I get your autograph?
Echo, this isn't a comic book, okay? It's serious.
I don't mind.
Comes with being a national hero.
Captain Baker strides over and signs Eccles' comic book. The kid beams.
And my Humaniacs poster?
Baker signs it.
And my chest?
Hey, how about a snapshot? Get one of me looking up at the stars. Mom!
Skip enters.
I saw the alien last night. I am so in. I got this guy wrapped around my little finger.
Let me tell you, this alien's not so scary.
He sees Rover and Captain Baker standing by the closed door.
It's your personal chef reporting for duty, sir. May I give you some tasty suggestions for tonight? I got a list of the fattest teachers in my school, in case you're looking for a light snack.
Skiff, stop. He's not here to eat us or anything. He's harmless to everyone but me.
Better let me do the talking. I think he's eyeing you for dessert.
Rover pounces on Skiff and wags his antenna.
Aw, it's kind of cute the way he does that.
Great. Let's just have a party.
The fat soldier and the skinny soldier burst in.
We're doing a routine search for the alien.
They spot Baker.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Lem shuts the door.
It's trying to control our minds.
What do we do?
Don't look at its eyes. That's how they take over your brain. Brains? That's right, brains! You are my zombie slaves! I want to control your brains!
It's inside my head!
Its will is too strong!
As the soldiers cower, Baker grabs their helmets and shakes their heads around. He knocks them together.
Command us, Master.
Command me, too.
It's not real.
I think I know when I'm being mind-controlled.
Hey, maybe they could get me on my ship.
The soldiers' jaws and hands hang slack.
I'm leaning toward probably not.
Rover rolls over a corded remote control and turns on the TV.
In the meantime,
but I think I know
site,
who can.
Just to the left of me here, everything is checked and double-checked.
Lem peeks outside and spots his father with the general.
You want our home for your headquarters? Gee, that would be a great honor. Honey, tell Lem we have guests.
Lem's mother enters his room.
Lem, there's someone you'd like to... Oh.
She finds his room vacant. Outside, Lem rides between the fat soldier and the skinny soldier in a hovering jeep. Baker and Rover hide underneath a blanket behind them.
Kiss the ship goodbye, Rover.
They glide out of the military zone. Later, they drive through the center of town.
You really think you could get me on TV?
You're the biggest story in history. The whole planet will watch.
The whole planet? Interesting. I left my hair products on the ship, but I could improvise. You know, astronauts have to deal with any kind of emergency.
I get it. He can tell everyone he's peaceful.
All we need is a safe place, that TV reporter, and then we can all get on with our lives. Skiff, the comic book store. Let's go there.
Okay. But if he's not housebroken, you're cleaning up his mess.
Nearby.
We need a slogan. Like something that says it's a bummer to make war on the aliens. I mean, should
Glar
make...
puts his arm around Neera.
Hey, Neera! Hi! Hi!
Kill any aliens, Lem?
Kill any... Oh, no! You don't understand. These soldiers aren't... Oh, great. This day gets better and better.
In Lem's house, hands remove a bowl of glowing fruit as the general lays down a map. The captain hurries in.
General Grawl! You better take a look at this.
The captain shows Grawl into Lem's room. The general examines something.
Professor, take a look.
Kipple picks up Baker's Twix wrapper.
This is obviously alien writing.
He sniffs it, then points at a barcode.
It says, surrender or die. And this is a list of surrender terms.
Diabolical.
What are you doing in Lem's room?
I'm afraid your son is a zombie.
Now in the comic shop, Lem stares off glumly.
Hey, kid, what's bugging you?
Neera.
What is that, like an alien hernia?
Well, sort of. It's the girl of my dreams. And now she hates me.
Whoa, hate's a strong word. Maybe she just dislikes you.
Plus, there's another guy, Glar.
Okay, you know your problem. It's not Glar or Neera. It's Lem. Look at you. You're so left brain. Or is it right brain? Whatever. You're like the chief of control. You gotta loosen up. We got a little time. You, my friend, are in luck. The doctor is in.
Baker grins, then guides Lem to a door.
Me and Green Bean need to talk.
Their friends watch them go. Now in a back room, Baker puts on a record.
Before we begin, I have a technical question. Are you considered very ugly on this planet?
What?
Because I can't tell.
No. I mean, I'm okay.
Oh, good.
He places the needle in a groove.
Why do chicks dig me? Because I'm handsome? Because I'm an astronaut? Yes, and yes. But it's also because of Chuck Baker's three steps to romance. Spot your prey. Make your move. Show no mercy.
He takes Lem's hand.
Hey, baby.
He sniffs along his arm.
I saw you across the bar. Are sparks flying, or is this place on fire?
Lem grimaces.
You sure you're not ugly, right?
I think so.
Maybe tomorrow I go up in space. Maybe never to return.
Baker dances with him, whirling him around.
Let's make our last night a night to remember.
He leans down as if to kiss Lem. Skiff enters.
The cork! The cork! Remember the plan!
only plan here is to get Chuck on TV. I'll be right back with the reporter. I'm leaving you in charge.
In charge?
Skiff storms over to the others.
You heard him. Things are gonna be different around here. My wish is your command.
Baker slams the door in his face, now at a news van.
Come on, boys, let's track down this story. We need an alien for the 6 o'clock news.
The van drives off as Lem arrives.
Wait, stop! Hey, we're really upset!
He spots the protesters.
Upset we really are! Are we upset? Huh? Really? We're really,
Neera.
Really upset!
I need to talk to you.
Oh, I thought you were after the alien.
That's not what's going on.
Then what is?
Mysterious Lem! Tell us the secrets of your heart!
Lem finds everyone staring at him.
I can't say.
Lem, I always thought we'd be together, but I need someone who doesn't always believe what he's been told. It's like Lar says, the times, they are a different. Maybe you should go.
Neera trudges away with her aliens are welcome sign. Lem eyes Glar, then sets his jaw and swaggers after her.
Hey, baby.
What?
Is this place sparking, or is fire making this a night? Show no mercy. Did I happen to mention I'm not ugly?
He whirls her around.
Are you crazy?
His feet stumble and Neera lets go.
Whoa!
She tumbles down the steps of City Hall and hits his head.
Hey, is this guy giving you bad vibrations?
Lem was just leaving.
The protesters and a few other bystanders disperse, leaving him lying alone in the street. In the comic shop, Skiff lays out some newspapers at Captain Baker's feet.
Are you kidding me?
If you have to do a number one, use these papers. If you have to do a number two, go outside. And if it's number three, I can't help you.
Rubber darts hit Baker.
Got you, alien! Victory or extinction!
Oh, yeah?
In space, no one can hear you scream!
He playfully chases Echo.
Crush, kill, destroy. Crush, kill, destroy.
Hey, crush, Master, kill, destroy. We want to be destroyed, too.
Outside, a rock hits the news van.
Quick, cover the camera! If it gets damaged again, we'll have to pay for it!
It stops in front of the comic shop, and the camera operator climbs up to their equipment on the roof. In the shop, Rover darts under a counter and cowers beneath his solar panel. Skip crouches in front of the quivering robot.
You're afraid of a widow storm. It's nothing, you see?
Rover peeks outside. From his view, an analysis shows dozens of rocks pouring from the sky. He breaks through the window. The probe happily weaves down the street, then twirls on his wheels. Gripping a light post with his robotic claw, he spins around it under the downpour of rocks. He speeds off.
Rover!
Skiff chases
Stay,
him.
Rover! Sit, stop! Heel! Roll over!
The reporter peeks in the comic shop.
You can't escape the tractor beam! It's pulling you to your doom!
As the skinny soldier pretends to escape, Baker playfully drags him back. The soldier's helmet falls off and rolls toward the news crew.
6 o'clock news, here we go!
Now storm clouds hover over the town as Lem shambles down a sidewalk. A small crowd gathers around a TV in a shop window.
Huh?
It shows Baker.
Soon, we will crush the Rebel Alliance and control the galaxy!
In the comic shop, the two soldiers clap.
Thank you.
The news crew records him through a window.
You are a Rebel spy and a traitor to the Empire. Take her away!
Skip!
Lem darts into traffic. At his home, a TV shows Baker.
Hasta la vista, baby. You are terminated.
General, over there, aren't those comic books?
Captain, get your men.
Now Lem bursts into the comic shop.
We gotta get out of here now!
Outside, several truckfuls of soldiers arrive. They race to the shop. Lem and Baker escape out the back. They jump into the fat soldier's jeep. Lem lifts Echo out.
Sorry, pal. Too dangerous.
But...
A soldier runs out of the shop and takes aim.
You there! Stop!
Lem stomps the gas and speeds away. The soldier fires after him but misses. Another jeep full of soldiers drives up and he hops in.
Wow!
Lemon Baker zipped down an alley with the soldiers close behind. The jeeps tear around a corner and the soldiers open fire. Nearby skiffs Gold Rover.
Don't you ever run off like that! What if they took you to the pound? How would I find you?
A jeep darts past.
Lem?
Four more military vehicles whiz by chasing you.
Oh boy.
Skiff jogs after them. Rover ditches a handful of rocks. More rocks spill from his scoop shovel trailing behind him. Lem's jeep skids to a stop as it comes upon a tank. The other vehicles close in from behind.
We better run!
Lem and Baker leap out as the tank blasts their jeep. They dash down an alley. Lem pauses at the corner and Baker runs into him. They hurry off. A group of armed soldiers jogs after them. After the soldiers pass, a door opens and the fugitives peek out. Retreating back into the building, they find themselves in a tea party.
Let the doctor handle this. Ladies, who wants to meet an astronaut?
His teeth glint. The old ladies hurl teacups at him.
Ladies, one at a time!
Lem leads the way out.
I'm on Facebook!
He and Baker halt outside as they find two tanks and dozens of soldiers aiming at them. Skiff arrives and gapes. Rover speeds up beside him. Lem and Baker put their hands up as the soldiers cock their weapons. Rover leaps on top of a transport truck and shines his scanning light on the soldiers. Dodging their gunfire, he falls off the truck. Lem and Baker sneak away. Rover rights himself. He dodges three lunging soldiers, but several more tackle him. Skiff watches. Lem and Baker hurry into a vacant car.
Quick, hotwire the car. Hotwire the who?
When are you green goobers gonna evolve?
Baker touches two cut wires together and the car starts. Lem makes a U-turn and speeds off. Meanwhile, a soldier loads a caged Rover into a transport truck, which drives away. Skiff quivers hesitantly, then runs after it. Now, the truck drives through a small crowd outside the bowling alley. Skiff exhaustedly jogs to a stop, then gawks as a soldier shoves Rover's cage onto a hovering platform. Eckel trots up beside his friend. A soldier tows Rover into a biohazard tent around the comic shop.
Amazing! The alien's brain is so powerful, it's controlling them even now. What is it telling you to do?
The fat and skinny soldiers are tied up.
I think I'm supposed to dig a hive for the alien queen.
Yeah, I'm supposed to blow up things. I mean, unless you need help with the hive.
Oh, no, I'm good.
You sure?
I'm good.
Never mind then, Professor.
Grawl stalks toward Rover.
This thing has all the answers.
The probe cowers.
Where's your master?
Rover licks a puddle of oil. Now a crane lifts the space capsule.
The flying saucer is going to an undisclosed location to be taken apart and studied. This reporter is now going to reveal to you where that location is.
He gets a note.
This reporter has just been told that if I do that, I will be taken apart and studied.
Twilight. A military convoy carrying the space capsule drives up the mountain road below the observatory. Baker and Lem watch the vehicles from a balcony.
Oh, look, that's perfect.
His
that's
countdown
great.
Watch reads, oh, return to Earth, great. 18 hours.
Perfect. John Glenn goes around the world? He's a senator for life! I went across the freaking universe! I should be governor, minimum! But no, I'm marooned here on this stupid rock!
He storms into the lobby. Lem angrily knits his brow and follows.
This stupid rock is my home. Or it was until you came along and ruined everything. I want my life back. Unless, I don't know, maybe there's something else you want to ruin.
Who's that?
Lem's stunned supervisor drops his clipboard.
My boss.
Now Lem puts him in the supply closet. A mop falls on him.
Sorry, Mr. Hawklow. It's just for one little night. Maybe a week. I really hope this doesn't affect our working relationship.
Lem closes the door and rubs his face. He opens it. Mr. Hawklow holds a note that reads, fired. Lem shuts the door.
Oh, great. Just great. Fired. Say, why don't you just harvest my organs and get it over with?
Lem storms through a doorway. Baker finds his photo of Nira on the floor.
Oh, great. Now look what you did. You made him really upset.
Lem?
Baker heads through the doorway and ascends a staircase past a control panel. He finds Lem outside a platform, sitting slouched at an opening in the observatory's dome. Above him, a giant telescope points out at the stars.
Lem?
Baker takes a seat beside him and follows his gaze to the star-filled sky.
Hey, you're looking right at my home. See that star, the little red one?
He points at a red star.
Circling that star is a planet called Earth. It's about 20 billion miles away, give or take.
There's no way space is that big.
What? Are you kidding? There's billions of galaxies, and each galaxy has billions of stars. Next to that, kid, our planets are just dust in the wind.
So, nothing I knew was right.
Come on, you knew about Neera. I mean, look at her. Lose the antenna, get some plastic surgery. She's a hottie.
I don't have the right stuff like you.
Kid, I never had the right stuff. I'm a button pusher. Spam in a can. I don't even fly the ship. It's all automatic. I only got this far on charm and my rugged good looks. You risked everything to help a stranger from another world. You're the one with the right stuff.
He tousles Lem's head tendrils, then playfully elbows him. Lem shoves him back. Ekel and Skiff arrive.
Finally! We've been looking for you!
Guys!
Great hiding spot. I call the closet.
No way! Let's go fight the army!
How's your species at hiding? Could you, change your skin to this color?
Your call, Captain Baker. What's it gonna be? Fight or hide?
Neither.
I think Lem's saying he wants the closet.
I'll tell you what it's gonna be. We're gonna go get Chuck back to his ship. Skiff, you were right about Base 9. That's where they have his ship.
But we don't know where it is.
Yes, we do. Rover found me. He's also programmed to find my ship. Wait, where is Rover?
It's too painful to talk about.
It's okay. They've got him at the comic book shop.
Well, then we've got to go get him.
Hold on. The whole army's looking for you, too. You can't just stroll through town.
Lem pauses at the top of the stairs.
Wait, that new movie. Doesn't that open tonight?
Yeah. Why?
Lem picks up a worker's helmet and beams. Now below the Humaniacs 3 billboard, a banner reads, Grand Premier Costume Contest. The reporter broadcasts behind a crowd near a stage.
The citizens of Glipform are undaunted by alien invaders and are bravely going about their normal routine.
Fark smacks a friend with a toy saber. Baker wears an eyeball painted over his helmet.
There's the comic book store.
Let's go.
Lem, Ekel, and Skiff wear Humaniacs costumes, too. As they creep through the costume crowd, other citizens stare. A pair of hands grabs Baker and Lem, who freeze.
What great costumes! You two are finalists! Up on stage!
No, we're not here to enter the contest.
Then why are you dressed like aliens?
Soldiers eye Lem suspiciously.
We're here to win the contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Lem ushers Baker to the stage. Now soldiers guard the dome tent surrounding the comic book store. Inside, a scientist taps Rover's wheel. His solar panel flips open. From Rover's view, an analysis of the scientist reads, Morons.
Private, come here!
A soldier abandons his post in front of the door. Rover eyes the unguarded opening, then darts off the exam table and speeds outside. A soldier aims his gun at the robot.
Hold your fire, soldier. Take us to your leader.
Meanwhile,
Humaniacs 3 Costume Contest!
As Lem and Baker stand on stage, Skiff and Ekel watch from the audience. Glar, Neera, and the other protesters wave signs. Lem leans toward Baker.
What are we supposed to do?
Give them their daily minimum dose of Chuck.
Rover races down a shadowy street. The general and a military convoy follow him. At the contest, Baker's cell phone hangs taped to a microphone.
Away?
and flapping his arms, then drags Lem forward with him. At the protest, Mira looks toward the stage. Lem gazes at the crowd uncomfortably, then does an awkward dance, twisting his body from side to side. Baker eyes him and slumps. Baker twists his knees and pumps his fists, then gestures to Lem. The teenager grimaces resolutely and mimics him. Audience members applaud. Baker hops from side to side. Lem performs the dance step as well. Crouching with one hand on his hip, Baker points out a finger at the audience, then sweeps it toward Lem. The duo pump their fists and thrust their hips. In the audience, Mira stands beside a beaming skiff. Lem and Baker high-five, knock elbows, then play air guitar. They jump up and bump chests. In the audience, Rover applauds by snapping the claws on his robotic hand. The audience backs away from him. They flee as the soldiers arrive. The general glares and the festive lanterns hanging overhead turn off. Baker and Lem dash away, but Annette captures Rover. Lem halts and glances around.
Lem!
Mira waves. As Baker and Lem escape, soldiers seize locals costumed in spacesuits and yank off their eyeball helmets.
All these costumes, sir. How do we find the alien?
Simple, Captain. Like us, the alien is in uniform.
He sees an American flag on Baker's suit.
Grab him!
Soldiers tackle him.
I got you.
Chuck!
Lem rushes over and another soldier shoves him down. His friends watch helplessly.
Hey, keep back.
Soldiers hurl Rover into a vault and lock the door. The robot peeks out through a porthole. Other soldiers stand Baker up. Lem's parents gape as General Grawl swaggers forward with Professor Kipple. Several soldiers march Lem and Baker toward the pair.
Time to meet the monster.
Face to face.
A scrawny soldier twists off Baker's helmet. The general studies his pale skin.
Look at it, Professor.
It's hideous.
And that smell.
Hey, you try wearing the same suit for 3 weeks.
A hovering platform lifts Kipple towards Baker's head.
What a remarkable brain you must have. An incision here and here should pop right out.
Huh?
The astronaut stands slack-jawed.
No, you're making a mistake. He's friendly.
Oh, this poor boy is obviously a zombie. I'll remove his brain, too.
Mira gawks. Lem's father cradles his distraught wife. Lem glances at Baker, who wrenches out of the soldier's grasp and wriggles his fingers. He marches toward Lem.
You are no longer needed, slave. I release you. Return to your puny life.
Kid, I'm going down anyway. There's no need for you to come with me.
Lem gazes at him tearfully.
Thanks for everything.
Soldiers haul Baker away from his friend.
How about it, Professor?
Difficult to tell.
Kipple approaches Lem.
Do you still believe the alien is friendly?
The teen looks to Baker, who subtly shakes his head.
No.
This boy is free!
Lem's parents hug him.
Oh, Lem! We're so glad you're not a zombie.
What about the alien spawn, sir?
I want to destroy it. One little piece at a time.
Skiff's jaw drops. In the vault, Rover cowers beneath the solar panel. Outside.
All right, let's get these aliens to base 9.
Not that it exists.
The general boards a bubble-shaped helicopter, which lifts off and flies away. Mira watches two soldiers escort a reluctant Baker toward an armored truck.
Move it.
She shifts her gaze to Lem, who slouches glumly between his parents. The soldiers shove Baker into the hovering helmet-shaped truck and lock the door. It glides forward and the military convoy heads out of town. Rover peeks out through the vault's porthole and waves his robotic hand. Fade to black. Now a TV turns on, showing a live newscast.
We're here to honor a young man who survived a harrowing ordeal at the hands of the alien monster. Lem, come on up!
Lem stands with his parents in the observatory lobby. His mother affectionately fluffs his head tendrils and he trudges forward toward the reporter.
Lem, I understand you'll be working right here after you graduate, teaching about the mysteries of space. Give us a preview of what we'll learn.
Lem's boss eagerly eggs him on from the crowd.
Well, we know everything about our universe. It's 500 miles long.
500 miles!
Lem's boss swaps screens with Serbok and Clark.
Remarkable!
Can't.
He grabs the mic.
Space isn't 500 miles. It's not. It's so much bigger than we can imagine. There's billions of galaxies, and each galaxy has billions of stars, and next to that, our planet is just...
His shoulders slump.
Excuse me.
He marches through the crowd and strides out, glowering. Neera hurries after him. Outside, Lem works at something behind the wheel of a parked car. With a determined pout, he bends out of view. Neera treads up to him.
Lem? I know I was kind of harsh. I'm really sorry.
Lem connects two cut wires, which spark.
Ouch! Oh, hi, Neera.
What are you doing?
It's called hot wiring. It's how they start cars on Earth.
Lem, I was thinking... Well, you know, now that this is all over...
Yeah, Neera?
Maybe we could...
Skip and Echo jog up.
Lem! You left everyone hanging!
I'm gonna go find Chuck.
But how? It's impossible without Rover!
My little Rovy! I can still hear his wagging little antenna! Rover?
Skiff turns.
Rover?
Behind him, Rover wheels around in a circle, then darts into Skiff's arms.
Rover! You're alive!
But how did you get out?
The robot faces Echo and opens his compartment. Dozens of screws spill out.
Good going, boy! Rover, can you find Chuck? Where's Chuck?
Using his lens like a snout, Rover sniffs at the ground. He weaves forward, then halts. He lifts one front wheel and juts his head straight out as if pointing, then rears back and speeds off. Lem's friends hop into his car.
You're going with me?
Mm-hmm.
He glances at Skiff and Echo in the back seat.
All right!
Rover drives out through the observatory's gates, and Lem's car glides after him. Now a hand types the code into a keypad, and a glass door slides open. Baker wakes up from a metal floor. Two soldiers drag him out into a bleak laboratory.
Thought you could take over our world. Your kind knows no decency.
You mean chick magnets?
No, aliens. Tell us your invasion plans, and don't bother taking over my mind. If you do, Captain Kisno has orders to shoot me. If you take over Captain Kisno's mind, Lieutenant Groit has orders to shoot him. If you take over Lieutenant Groit's mind, Sergeant York will shoot Captain Kisno, Lieutenant Groit, and myself, along with these three soldiers. Each man has a designated target in the squad. Should you succeed in taking over all our minds, Corporal Hisk has orders to electrocute everyone. If this fails, the entire base is rigged to blow at the touch of a button.
General, sir, am I supposed to shoot Hektivar or Kolsky?
I shoot Kolsky.
No, you shoot McAvoy.
Well, then who shoots Kolsky? I can shoot myself.
That won't be necessary. Hektivar, you shoot Kolsky, Captain Kisno, and Gray is Corporal Hisk.
Yes, sir!
He fires.
Not yet!
All the soldiers aim at each other.
Drop your weapon!
You! No, him first! You're mad! I'm not taking my eyes off Kisno! Drop it, dirtbag!
Baker bumps a control panel and the door to his chamber slides shut. The startled soldiers shoot at each other. One takes cover behind a bulky machine.
Hold your fire!
Hisk shoves a lever and blue energy beams electrocute the soldiers. The general scowls and Hektivar fires aimlessly. Baker's boots protect him from the electricity. The shooting ceases and the energy beams vanish.
Captain Kisno, get everyone out of here.
You're not thinking all this is my fault, right?
All right. You won't tell us. There's another way to unlock the secrets of your brain. Professor Kipple!
Kipple enters with two hovering gurneys.
He's all yours.
The scientist snaps on a rubber glove and excitedly wiggles his fingers. Baker's eyes widen and his jaw goes slack. Now a rough-hewn sign beside a remote highway reads Desert Road. Rover races past it, followed by Lem's car. The probe perks his head up and abruptly veers off the road. Lem misses the turn. The robot wheels up to an abandoned gas station shaded by a saucer-shaped roof. He sniffs the asphalt as Lem doubles back. Skiff hops out of the car and jogs over to Rover. The others survey their surroundings. A bird creature swoops away. Lem glances at a couple of shabby, long vacant buildings in the otherwise secluded desert.
Hang on, Chuck. We'll find you.
In the laboratory, a scientist straps Baker to a table. On a catwalk, two soldiers guide the unconscious fat soldier and skinny soldier in on gurneys. Jars contain their brains.
Ah, there you are. I was just warming up for you. Ah, now we'll have that brain out in no time.
You don't want my brain. It's useless. I spent 4 years at a party school. Trust me, it's mush.
Now Lem and his friends peek into the gas station's shadowy interior.
Hello? Anyone here?
They creep inside. Skiff ambles straight to a refrigerator.
Skiff, what are you doing?
Ah, come on. No one's around. I'm not gonna get caught.
He grabs the last remaining bottle of soda and pulls. The building shakes. Outside, a crack opens up in the asphalt. Rover straddles it. As the crack widens, he plummets. Circular hatches snap open in the pavement, and red beacons pop out atop tall poles in the gas station. Outside, the top of the saucer-shaped roof rises up and hinges backward, becoming a huge satellite dish. A radio antenna juts out from its center. In the gas station, Lem and Nira stare slack-jawed at the ceiling. Eccle treads outside and rubs one eye.
The thing with it just went over the wall!
Lem steps after him, touching the youngster's hat. In front of the gas station, a vast keyhole-shaped crater reveals the entrance to an underground base. A road in the shape of a nine encircles it with a small helipad at its stem. Surrounding that, an entire sunken valley with a runway forms a vast ring at ground level to the base. The four young friends step to the edge of the keyhole-shaped crater and peek inside.
Base Nine.
This is amazing! I was right again! Woo-hoo!
Rover peers over the edge of a platform beneath them to a deep shaft.
How do we get in without being seen?
A grin broadens over Lem's face. In a cavernous loading dock. Soldiers turn and stare. A platform lift descends into view, carrying Glar, his fellow protesters, and his van. The soldiers draw billy clubs. Glar's fellow protesters flee. The soldiers surround him. Lem and his friends are hiding in the van. Slipping out, they sneak past the soldiers. Lem shoots the battered Glar a thumbs up. In the lab, Kipple revs up a saw. Baker watches from the table.
I don't suppose your planet's invented painkillers?
Now Rover leads Lem and his friends through a multi-level hangar filled with aircraft. The plucky little probe stops by an vent, removes its cover, and hops in. Lem and his friends stare after him into the dark air shaft. In the lab, Professor Kipple fires up the handheld circular saw with a wicked grin. Meanwhile, Rover speeds down the winding tubular vent. The others follow, sliding on their rear ends. They land in a dark corridor, where Rover peers through a grate in the floor, his antenna wagging. Lem and Nira look down to find Kipple lowering the saw toward Baker's head. Rover's robotic hand grabs the blade, stopping it, snatching the saw away. The probe shines its blue scanning light on Kipple's assistants, who flee, then on the professor, who scrambles out the door.
Yeah! Good work, Rover!
Lem and the others are dangling the robot from the ceiling hatch. They lose their balance and all fall to the floor.
Guys, this is so Luke Skywalker!
Lem and Nira unstrap him.
By the way, you're not brother and sister, right?
How much time is left?
Just enough. Rover here will take us right to my ship.
As the naked astronaut stands, a sheet covering him drops.
That's a funny place for his antenna.
Now Kipple and his assistants face the general.
Captain, I want the whole base on red alert.
Yes, sir!
General, you must save its brain!
I'm more concerned with saving a world.
He turns a key in the detonator, uncovering its glowing red button. Now soldiers hurry through a work area. As the space clears, Rover, Lem, and Baker peer out from behind a storage crate. The probe leads the astronaut and his companions to an elevator. They board, and it zooms up a dark shaft. Now in a recovery area, the two soldiers sip tea near the jars holding their brains.
That professor's a genius.
I feel positively effervescent.
In fine fettle, what a salubrious experience.
Well said. Cheers.
They clink their cups, then splash the tea in their own faces. Now the elevator arrives at its destination. Rover hops out and races across the floor. As the others follow, Eccle finds a control station with a glowing red button. He presses it. An enormous circular ceiling hatch splits in half and slides open, allowing sunlight in. It reveals Baker's space capsule sitting on a launching pad.
My ship! Way to go, kid!
He leads his companions over to the spacecraft. The entry hatch lowers and an inner door opens.
Step away from the flying saucer.
Kipple and Grawl arrive on a descending platform.
And put your hands in the air.
He draws a gun. Dozens of soldiers storm in, aiming weapons as they surround the space capsule. Lights blink on around the launch pad's perimeter. Baker and his companions stand trapped as General Grawl advances toward them.
There was never a chance you'd get away.
He turns the detonator's key. Lights blink on bundles of explosives.
You destroy the whole base just to get me?
That is sick!
Actually, it's kind of flattering.
Sick? Sick, young lady, is helping the enemy of your world. Sick is befriending a creature that's so completely different. Sick is... Well, look, it's right in front of you. I'm sorry, Professor. It's too dangerous to let the alien live another minute.
Oh!
The General aims. Lem moves between Baker and the gun.
Wait, stop! Huh? General, I know what you're afraid of. And it's not Chuck. It's not... monsters or aliens, it's the unknown. I spent my whole life running from it. And I think maybe you have too. But I'm telling you, the unknown isn't something to be afraid of. It can be your best friend. And just when you think that it means the end of everything you know, it's really just the beginning.
Lem pushes the detonator button. Kipple drops his monocle and runs out, followed by the soldiers. The general aims his gun at Lem.
Take that!
Eccle swings a crane's weighted hook, knocking the weapon from his hand. It fires, hitting a row of explosives. The blast drops burning wreckage on the general.
Everyone on board! Let's go! Attention all personnel. Evacuate base immediately.
The friends board the ship. Baker opens a compartment and retrieves a spacesuit. He puts it on, grabs a blanket, and runs back out.
What are you doing?
I can't leave him here!
Why not?
Because he's got the right stuff.
Baker pauses as burning debris falls in his path. Darting around it, he reaches Grawl, who lies unconscious. The general wakes to find the astronaut looming over him. Falling debris fills our view with flames. From the hatch, Lem and Skiff wait, wide-eyed. The astronaut marches from the fire, cradling the blanket-wrapped general in his arms. Lem's mouth curls into a smile.
Base destruct. 60 seconds.
Baker sets the general down in the space capsule. Lem and Mira buckle in. Baker activates the autopilot. A timer ticks down from 9 minutes.
There's no time for autopilot.
What's the matter now?
I'm gonna have to pilot this bucket.
He climbs a ladder to an upper level and lifts a hatch. Before him, a chair faces an intimidatingly complex control panel. He sits in the chair and it carries him to the console. Grabbing a joystick, Baker prods a series of buttons and switches. He pushes a throttle forward, activating the ship's jets.
Base destroyed in
15
seconds.
She is so heavy!
Gritting his teeth, Baker tugs on the control stick and the ship rises clumsily through the launch silo. Explosions tear through the structure, raining debris around the capsule.
3, 2, 1.
Outside, among fleeing base staff, Glar and the protesters turn to spot the ship rising from the explosion. Flashing the peace sign, Glar falls over backward. The space capsule soars above the clouds. Inside, Baker pilots the craft with a tightly set jaw. The ship's surroundings shift from bright blue to a star-glittered black as it leaves the atmosphere. The planet glows softly below the space capsule as its jets cut off. Inside, a floating Baker leans his head into the lower cabin.
you guys should check this out.
He pushes a button, releasing his friend's safety harnesses. They rise weightlessly from their seats. Rover paddles forward with his rear solar panel. Baker pushes another button, and light pours across the cabin, illuminating the companions. Lem faces its source, and his eyes widen. A large window shows the ring planet haloed by its sun. Lem drifts to the window, pressing his hands to the glass. Baker joins him.
Hey, what do you think?
Such a big universe.
I am definitely coming back here.
Baker drifts away, making room as Lem's other friends join him at the window. With a satisfied smirk, the astronaut sits by General Grawl, who wakes.
Am I a zombie now?
The others turn around.
This guy reads too many comic books.
Baker elbows the general good-naturedly. As the others leave the window, Lem holds Neera back.
Hey, Neera, now that this is all over, would you wanna...
Yes.
But you didn't hear what I was gonna...
She plants a big kiss on his lips. Lem's eyes widen, then blissfully close. Skiff and Eccles stare.
Gross!
Lem and Neera part, gazing into each other's eyes.
Strap in, everyone! Because I'm taking you home.
Baker rises weightlessly toward the cockpit. The space capsule's jets illuminate, and the craft tilts in the planet's direction. The jets flash brightly as they propel the ship toward a circular swirl of clouds. In Glipford, the street sweeper brushes leaves into a waist-high pile. He pauses, turning as a shadow sweeps over him. The space capsule descends, its jets scattering the leaves in all directions. The street sweeper glares with a grumpy scowl. Other citizens gather, staring at the ship. Its hatch lowers, revealing Lem, Neera, Echo, and Skiff. The police officer points.
Hey, it's Lem!
Skiff waves as the youths disembark. The general follows.
Hey.
Stepping down, he reveals Baker behind him.
The monster!
Two soldiers aim guns.
It's all right, Chief. He's with me. Soldiers, attention! There is among us an astronaut.
The general salutes Baker and his soldiers follow suit. The Earthling disembarks.
Captain.
Grawl extends a hand.
Thanks for coming back for me.
A pleasure, General.
Baker playfully slaps it.
Maybe next time you have guests, you'll throw a better party.
Leaving the general agog, he crouches to Eccle and some other kids.
Kid, how'd you like to be president of the local Chuck Baker Party Maker Fan Club?
He holds up photos of himself. Echo runs off with him.
Be a good boy. And don't forget to drink your oil.
The probe sadly leaves Skiff and rolls to Baker.
Rover, you coming? Or you want to stay here?
He waves his antenna, then races over and tackles Skiff.
Rover! Oh, my little bitty boy!
Baker eyes the timer on his wrist, then turns, scanning the crowd. Lem brushes past his fellow townspeople to meet him.
Lem, you saved my life.
He extends a hand.
You saved mine too.
Lem flings his arms around him. Baker returns the embrace, then pulls away as Neera approaches.
That was a man hug just then. It's very big on my planet.
Hmm?
Hey, take care of this guy, okay?
Giving a salute, Baker boards his ship. Rover and his new friends watch from the front of the crowd.
You're a great planet, and your 50s are fine! But give me a call when you get to the 60s! Cause that's gonna be fun!
He gives a thumbs up as the rising hatch blocks him from view. The ship's jets billow smoke through the crowd, and the capsule rises. Weeping, Skiff raises a handkerchief to his face. He passes it over to Rover, who wipes his lens. Ripley's owner notices that her leash has been burned through. The alien dog pops up in the ship's window. He kisses the glass with his mouth-like tongue as the capsule rockets skyward. Cut to black. Now we see drawings of one-eyed humaniacs. Credits appear in their laser blasts. Directed by Jorge Blanco. Co-directed by Javier Abad, Marcus Martinez. Produced by Ignacio Perez Dolcet. Produced by Guy Collins. Executive producers Juan Antonio Perez Ramirez, Peter Graves, Michael Ryan, Jose A. Rodriguez Diaz. Executive producers Javier Perez Dolcet, Albie Hecht, Patrick Meehan, Mercedes Gamero, Executive producers Mercedes Ray, Stephen Margolis, Ricardo Garcia Arroyo, Albert Martinez Martin. Director of photography Gonzalo Rueda. Line producer Jose A. Rodriguez Diaz. Original idea by Javier Abad, Jorge Blanco, Marcus Martinez, Ignacio Perez Dulcet. Script by Joel Stillman. Film editor Alex Rodriguez. Production designer Julian Romero. Composer James Brett. Music production supervisor Graham Walker. More drawings show the aliens terrorizing Glipforg citizens. Supervising sound designer Joseph Stracy. Casting by Ruth Lambert, CSA. Robert McGee, CSA. UK European casting by Karen Lindsay Stewart, CDG. Character supervisor Juan Solis. Characters designer Nacho Guiz. Rigging and skinning supervisor Miguel Angel Jimenez. Art director Fernando Juarez. Sets and props supervisor Fernando Guillamo. Scene composing and set dressing supervisor Karine Gillet. Animation supervisor Fernando Moro. Layout supervisor Charlie Ramos. Crowds animation supervisor Miguel A. Jimenez. Compositing supervisor Miguel Pablos. Simulation and FX supervisor Javier Romero. Lighting supervisor Barbara Myers. Unit production manager Belly Ramirez. Software tool supervisor Alberto Arenas. System supervisor Luis Toro. Now in the desert, a drain cover lifts out of the sand. Professor Kipple emerges, his eyes wide as he gasps for breath. Looking up, he sees the two lobotomized soldiers.
Doc, that brain operation was inspired.
You simply must try it.
No, no!
The fat soldier holds the circular saw as he and his skinny partner drag the professor away. In space, the Odyssey drifts by.
This is going to be a long trip.
Now against a starry background, a graphic of a round-headed alien holding a pronged staff in its long, sharp claws rises into view. Its one big eye contains a spiral. Credits continue. And the Humaniacs are additional voices. Louis McLeod, Emma Tate, Rupert Degas, Pete Atkin, Rebecca Front, Lawrence Bouvard, Vincent Marzello, Brian Bowles. Original score published by Handmade Films Music Limited. Copyright 2009. Original motion picture soundtrack album available on Decca Records. Songs recorded and remixed at Abbey Road Studios, London. A lifelike graphic of a guitar rolls by on one side of the credits. On the other side, we see a graphic of padded headphones. Songs, Earth Angel, Will You Be Mine, performed by the Crew Cuts, written by Belvin Hodge Williams. Lollipop, vocal and instrumental versions written by Julius Dixon and Beverly Ross. Lead vocal Sophie Green, backing vocals Tamsin Hardy and Kat Scandrett. Unchained Melody, written by Hai Zarrett and Alex North. Lead vocal Keith Morrell. Gonna Be a Star, written by Tom Cott, performed by Tom Cott and the Electric Hearts. Private Conversation, written by Tom Cott. Vocal Alan Marriott, guitar Tom Cott. Bebopalula, written by Gene Vincent and Tex Davis. Lead vocal Chris Cott, backing vocals Keith Morrell. Mr. Sandman, written by Pat Ballard. Lead vocal Peter Gosling, backing vocals Keith Morrell and Mick Mullins. Also Sprach Zarathustra, composed by Richard Strauss, performed by the London Metropolitan Orchestra. Dental Pro Commercial, composed by James Brett. Vocal harmonics Janet Mooney. Macarena, performed by Los Del Rio, written by Antonio Romero Monge, Rafael Ruiz Perdigones. Stick It to the Man, film version written by Tom Cott, performed by Alan Marriott. Ding Ding a Boom Boom, written and arranged by Chris Cott, vocals by Keith Morrell. Long Tall Sally, written by Robert Blackwell and Taurus Johnson and Richard Penniman. Lead vocal John Sloman. Mysterious Lem, written by Charlie Ramos, vocals by Alan Marriott, guitar Tom Cott. Glar's Lament, composed by James Brett, whistling Tom Cott, guitar Chris Cott. Singing in the Rain, written by Nacio Herb Brown and Arthur Freed, performed by the London Metropolitan Orchestra. Greased Lightning, written by Jim Jacobs and Warren Tracy. Lead vocals Lance Ellington, backing vocals Keith Morrell, Mick Mullins, Pete Holworth. Stick It to the Man, end credits version, written by Tom Cott, performed by Tom Cott and the Electric Hearts. Tried to Save the World, written by Tom Cott, performed by Tom Cott and the Electric Hearts. A graphic of an open takeout carton with chopsticks protruding out rolls by. Special thanks, Mayor Weinstock, Radar Licensing, David Imhoff and Dane London, Guy Stodell, Bert Ulrich and Marcia Ivins from NASA, Carlos Fernandez, Avid Spanish Team and Susana Santos, Alvaro Gomez Cabronero, Idor Villadeniga, Peter Lopez, David Quiles, Augustin De Marcos, Carlos Baena, Carlos Meyer, Sergio Pablos, Alfonso Romeo, Volkswagen, Giles Bones, Pecora Studio, Jorge Bazzacco, Virtua MC, Molly Connolly. We see a graphic of a circular bassinet. Production babies, Jorge, Alvaro, Guillermo, Carlota, Javier, Eduardo, Emma, Nora, Hector, Alba, Adrian, Julieta, Jimena, Noah, Max, Diego, Almundena, Bruno, Mateo, Emma, Melkor, Paula, Carla, Jorge, Sandra. Copyright 2009 Ilian Animation Studios, Handmade Films International, A3 Films, Lem Films, and Chuck and Lem. A logo shows a fat-bodied horse shaped like an apple. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from TriStar Pictures. Read by Gailey Heidemann. For more information about Motion Picture Access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org.